You know it's getting cold out here, baby. And sometimes it's hard to find.
M-A-X. Maximum shrinkage.
Dribble, dribble. Splash, splash. Soggy bottoms. I wasn't fast. Dribble, dribble. Splash, splash. Soggy bottoms. I wasn't fast.
All right, folks. Welcome to the Muskie 360 Podcast. Guru, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing good. Sounds like that guy had the classic case of too many layers on.
You know, I've been there. You've been there. It is just, it's just a matter, literally, it's just a matter of inches, Tyler. It's, you got 5 inches of clothes on, you're in a mess. You know, what are you going to do?
Too many buttons, man.
Too many buttons. You're fighting. It's just, it doesn't work. It doesn't work.
We've all been in that struggle.
For all of you out there fishing in a freaking 5 layers of clothes, that's where I'm at. I'm literally still, Tyler, I'm still in my rain suit. So if you can imagine, I've got on, I'm literally count 1, 2, 3, 4. I have on 4 thermal shirts, a rain suit, padded jeans. I am actually under my padded jeans. I'm wearing a pair of sleeping pants that have cats and birthday balloons on them. And that's a fact because I'm cool like that. Tyler, you know I really don't care about stuff like that. Hence my Trolls shirt, my world famous.
He has a famous Trolls shirt. It's the best shirt ever.
It is. If you want to catch a muskie, if you got anybody remembers Troll Dolls, it just has one of those on the front and it says Trolls. Okay? That's how cool I am. Because
that's it. There's nothing else special about that shirt.
Other than its mystical troll powers. Women's love the Trolls, I'm telling you. If you want to get you a woman, just get you one of them Troll Doll shirts, boys. God. You know, I just don't care. It is cold. So, it is so cold down here in Tennessee friggin' sea. I am freezing to death. Yesterday was 28 degrees on the water all day long. Thank you very much. It was 19 when I left. I know that's nothing for you boys, but it's not. Hey, listen, cold's cold. And I was freezing to death. By the way,
T-shirt weather in Wisconsin.
Hey, I'm going to make you laugh again.
What's that?
So my feet were cold, right?
Mm-hmm.
I bought a pair of Uggs. So I bought a pair. They are UGG hiking boots that are fur lined. I'm gonna look pimp. Me and Tom Brady are the only two males that wear UGGs. You know,
I love it.
Screw it. I saw them. They're expensive. They look pimp. They actually don't look stupid, but they're UGG brand and they're like supposed to be super warm. And I was like, so me and some pumpkin spice latte chicks gonna be wearing Uggs.
should I expect to see you at Starbucks now, regular customer?
Buddy, I'm Duncan. That's how trashy I am. You know, I'm more of a
that makes
Duncan,
a lot of sense.
Duncan these nuts donuts. Duncan's. Yeah, I'm not a Starbucks kind of guy. I don't like coffee that much, Tyler. Don't like coffee.
I'm not a big coffee guy myself.
I like caffeine. I don't. Diet Coke. Everybody knows. If you've been on my boat, I drink a copious amount of Diet Coke because there's no sugar and there's like 8 million billion caffeine particulates.
You guys should have seen my boat in the middle of the week when we were at the murder cabin. There was like a half drinking Coke in one corner, another corner there. All my cup holders, even the ones in the front of the boat where I was,
client.
There was like half full can of Coke.
I had a client named Kevin one time that said, the bottom of your boat is like gravel made out of Diet Coke cans. It's just like, I don't throw them in the bottom. I have a trash can. Yeah, I live on that crap, man. But yeah, I'm not a big Starbucks guy. I'm a complete weenus when it comes to coffee. Like, I'll drink a warm cup of decaf like I was you know, some librarian or something in the evening. Oh, I'll have a hot cup of decaf. I might as well just drink lukewarm toilet water for mm-hmm. as much as decaf will do for you. But anyway, back to the muskie fishing here. It's not over up north. And that's the thing is me and you have been talking about, you've been out and a lot of people have been like, you've been running sort of secret squirrel, keeping your mouth shut. And a few people have the frozen chosen, if you will. It's, it is wicked cold. It's wicked cold down south this week, but the official close, right? Correct me, Tyler, if I'm wrong. The official close in the regulations for muskies is the 31st, correct?
December 31st, yeah. So up north, lures are starting to bounce. So right. Northern Zone, Three Lakes area, Rhinelander, lures are bouncing.
Right. So yeah, it's tough.
It's tough to find a lake to fish. But down here in Green Bay in southern Wisconsin,
mm-hmm.
open water, baby. Slow, open. Cold water trolling.
Right, trolling. We're going to talk trolling here in a second, but that's the ticket. I know, you know, next week we're going to have a guy that's helping us out, a young guy that's named Caleb that's doing some open water stuff on rivers. That's something to consider. You can still get a fish. I mean, it's you know, the regs are different. If you can find open water, you can find fish, and you can find hungry fish.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's a sucker left to be bought. I know when I was at the muskie shop weeks ago, that they were like at the, it was the last gas on suckers then, you know.
People are eating them up, man. It's just kind of, I'd go trolling.
I would be trolling, and I'd be trolling slow. Just dragging some baits. It just becomes a matter of how bad do you want it? Because this is giant time. You know, you look at Tom Gelb back in the day. You know, late in the seasons when you pick up some of these just slobosaurs, you know, and those fish are fat, and they're fat for a reason because they're starting to eat. Tyler, is as far as North Woods, is there any open water? Do you know? Is the river there coming out of Eagle River? Is that froze up, you think? I don't know if it freezes up. I'm not dumb enough to be up there past September.
I would say it's not frozen yet. I mean, rivers don't typically freeze, are the first things to freeze. It's
right,
usually
right.
Lakes.
Think...
If it gets real cold, rivers will freeze
right,
over. So, but since they're moving water doesn't freeze over in a quick amount of time.
Who knows? Again, so, we're not up there, but we're just, you know, spitballing. But, you know, if you're looking for somewhere to fish, find that open water and you're going to find fish. I know I heard earlier this week, and I can't tell all the details, but there's a guy up in the North Woods. He had a 3-fish day and is a 4-footer, a 50, and a 51.
Wow.
That's a mega day for the North Woods. And I know what body of water it was, and it was like taking a spud, and the dude was breaking ice on the way out. Yeah.
That's
so
amazing.
That's some hardcore stuff, but if you're willing to get hardcore, it's getting good for our friends in Indiana, for our friends in Ohio and Pennsylvania and West Virginia and Kentucky. You know, that range, man, it's time to get on the water. If you're not out right now, if it's too cold, you know, you're not a muskie fisherman. You're not. You're a weekender. Get out there.
Weekender.
Put on your Uggs and your troll shirt and go muskie fishing like a real man. No, it's I've got on my little, I still have on my little muskie shop knit cap. It's got the little fuzzy ball on the top. I'm a real fashionista, Tyler.
I got one too. I got the one of the neon ones.
Mm-hmm.
I like being flashy. Look at me.
Get on your knit cap. Get on your rain suit. You know, make sure you relieve yourself before you get out on the boat, because it's difficult when you're wearing 40 layers of clothes. But it's time to get out there. Tyler, one thing that I've had success with, we talked about a little less last week about trolling, and that you're doing on Green Bay and some other bodies of water, is slow trolling. Slow trolling. And I mean 0.9, 0.8, you know, sometimes into that 2, really 2.6 is what I'm thinking. Right? Now, depending on your water temp, if your water temp's tower, is it, you know, 40s? You know, I know you guys are seeing that. I know
colder.
Colder. Yeah, well, that's the thing is you're seeing colder. I know a lot of guys seeing 30s, 40s, low 50s. Depending on where you're at, you might see some mid 50s. But, you know, when we're on the backside of 60 down to hard water, you got to slow down everything. You just have to. It's my thought process on this is a fish's metabolism of a fish is dictated by water temp. They're not going to be fired up. If you watch bait fish in the shallows in cold water, they're moving slower. Your presentations need to match. They need to slow down. So Tyler, we're going to talk about, and like I said, we had so many questions come in this week while we're sort of harping on this, is how to slow down, right? And me and you talked about this and just some of our basic ideas. So the first one I would throw out on ways to slow down to troll, because let's say you've got a big engine, you got this or that. Off the bat, use your trim, right? If you need to get your RPMs up, but you need to slow the boat down, jack your motor up, okay? You're not going to have as tight a control, but that's one thing that I do. If I need to hit, like, for me, anything at, like, 1.2 and under is tough as nails to even get. Like, my engine's going jung, 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 jung. And it's a four-stroke. It doesn't like it. You know, if you jack the motor up, you can increase the RPMs and get the motor to run smoother and slow the boat down, right? Another thing that me and you talked about is trolling motor. What you're doing a bunch of is you're actually trolling with the trolling motor.
Yeah, you can go real slow. Yeah. I mean,
I sit in my captain's seat
with the remote and go up by 0.5, up by 0.5. Oh, I'll just control it this way or that. It's nice. It's easy. Sit down, relax, go slow. But if you don't have a trolling motor, you know what you can do? If you don't have a trolling motor that has a remote control, you can sit up on the front of the bow. But if you don't have a trolling motor, you can back troll.
Well, that's the thing is back trolling is an option. But, you know, like you said, if you don't have the remote control, you can do that with your foot control. You can
sit in the front of the boat.
You know, if you got good control. But like you said, back trolling, it's not really a musky tactic. That's very walleye-ish. You know,
you can go slow, though.
But you can go slow. And you can go slow, slow.
Yeah.
That's definitely a tactic. Like you said, and me and you both do that of like, I want to sit there and look at the big graph, but I got the remote in my hand and it's like playing the video games.
I love it. I love it so much.
Doop, doop, doop. Up, up, down, down, left, right, A, B, select, start. That's the Konami code for anybody born after 1990. But... You know, it's like you're sitting there playing the musky video game, which somebody asked about the musky video game, Tyler. It's coming. It's a coming. Ooh. Musky country.
Ooh. We've been playing the demos. It's pretty fun. Ooh. Ooh. Yeah.
Don't tread on me. Anyway, you know, so the video game, it's in the works. We'll talk about more in a minute, but. You know, take advantage of that remote-controlled freaking $8 billion motor we all have now. You know, for you guys with hand tillers, you know, usually you can get those RPMs down, but you can create drag. We're getting nitty-gritty here, and it's just an idea. It's nothing I've done in a long time, but let's say you're in a John boat or something like that, and you don't have a lot of draft and slow is a problem. I've seen guys take buckets and put buckets, drill holes in the bottom of buckets and use them as drift bags to slow down.
That's genius.
So it's resistance in the water. You know, is that the preferred way of doing it? No, but where there's a wheel, there's a way, because they make like drift socks and all this stuff for walleye trolling or control or whatever. So if you have a boat that really won't slow down, you could take a couple $5 Home Depot buckets, put some water holes so it'll at least pass some water out through it, throw one off either side of the boat, and you can slow way down. That'll, trust me, dragging buckets behind the boat will slow you down like crazy. You know, that's the hillbilly fix there, but listen, I'm a hillbilly and I'm proud to say it, but I've seen some hillbillies do it and catch some fish. You know, you got a little 25 horse hand tiller on a John boat and you can't get the speed you want. you create that drag, it will get you into those zones. One thing about slow trolling, and a lot of questions we got after we talked about this last time, was action, right? And I think a lot of people are taking baits that have not a lot of action at low speed and trying to use them trolling. If I'm trolling slow, I want a bait that has a lot of action, so it at least has some action when it's going slow.
A good bait that I like to use, mm-hmm. anything join it. Any yeah. sort of crankbait that's join it, because there's that added action.
Right, of it flopping side to side.
Yeah, the flopping side to side. I mean, if you're just using a straight like crankbait, you don't have that.
It's rocking, and it's like very narrow in its rock. Jointed depth raiders, jointed shallow raiders if you're still running shallow. There's Leos, there's freaking Wileys. We got all kinds of stuff. Jointed baby Ernies, you know. A lot of baits that you can use for that. The other thing is these big slab-sided minnow baits. You know, 10-inch, 13-inch grandmas have a lot of warble, a lot of walk to them. Anybody that's been on my boat knows I love some headlocks. You know, so a headlock is going to get you where you need to be, you know, as far as a walk and a robble. Tyler, what else as far as big wobbly baits?
I mean, the shallow raider's good. Oh, there's one that I've been trolling in spring and had some success on. I haven't tried it in fall yet. It's the, what's it called? The Sloppy Joe or whatever it is.
That big spoon.
Not the big spoon. I cannot remember. It's one of the Buka crankbaits, but it's like a fish.
It's Swimming Joe.
Sloppy Joe. Yeah.
Swimming. Yeah. Moving on from from Sloppy Joe's. No, that's a swim bait. Like, that's actually the reason they keep that bait around. I think it's really popular with a lot of saltwater guys too. But that bait's got a good swim action. Join the Believers, another cold, slow bait. I'm just trying to throw ideas out here. I love taking the jointed. They make them, I think, like Dick's and Cabela's sell them, like these jointed pikey minnows. They're like $12. You can put some weight on those, but Muskie Shop has them, I think. I'm just trying to think of like budget crap. You know, that's all really good. The other thing is this, that you said that about the Swimming Joe, and somebody asked a question. I actually saw that question about spoons. You can run a spoon in cold water really slow. You know?
Oh, yeah, because it moves side to side.
Right. You're just basically looking for action at slow speeds. That's, you know, off the rip, some stuff. You know, you brought up the back trolling. It's not the easiest thing to do. It really isn't.
Yeah.
You know, avoid at all costs unless you know what you're doing. But, I mean, it can work. And I've caught, I think, maybe two fish doing that where it's just like the most brutal of brutal cold fronts. You know, and if I'm sort of that, I'm going, oh, this is going to be rough. But it's something to keep in mind. You know, as far as that, Tyler, we already sort of covered, you know, there's not a lot of suckers to be had. Right?
They gone.
But, you know, if you can get your hands on them, you're going to score. that's like, you know, if you got some laying around or you can get access to them or you can catch them or net them or however you can get them, you know, live bait is such a big thing, you know, in those super big cold water periods. But other than that, man, I'm just trying to touch on that. Tyler, what else you got going on? I know it's been cold, cold, cold. How much longer do you think it's even feasible to be on the water up there before it's just shut out cold? Or how long are you lasting? Are you able to go all day, or are you just sort of picking the best 4 or 5 hours? What are you doing?
I can go all day. I don't really care about my well-being on the water. I'm like, yeah, it's cold. I'm going to suffer. Suffering makes it more fun.
Right. It wouldn't be musky fishing.
But I know a couple guys that are already fishing ice fishing, where I like to musky fish. So up north, I think, I don't even want to give a time. It's basically done up north.
Right. But I was saying where you're
around
at.
Around Green Bay, southern Wisconsin, probably till the end of December.
You think? Think it'll go the whole time?
Yeah. I mean, maybe by December 20th, but I think it's going to go till December 31st.
Word.
For those people down south. Yeah.
So speaking of, for you southern people, be thinking those first breaks. Be thinking those deeper water sections, open water. The stuff, like I said, I think I said it last week, the stuff we were towing these guys up north, you know, in October about open water bait fish, you need to be thinking that now. You need to be thinking open water trolling, finding schools of bait fish, trolling around them, marking bait schools, coming back around on them, dragging as many baits as you can get out there, whatever the law says you can troll, be trolling them. That's another thing. And we got like 7 questions this week, so I'm going to summarize this. How do you troll multiple lines? Right. It's about arranging your boat. Tyler, me and you actually already talked about this. I promise you this spring, me and Tyler are getting together for some filming. We're going to work on just a instructional video on trolling. There's just so many people asking about. We will put together a program, however long it is, of trolling basics. But the big thing for me is getting, if I'm going to troll, let's say I'm going to troll 2 rods, right? I'm going to put those 2 rods, if I can only have 2, I'm going to have them right at the back corners of the boat. Those rods are going to turn the best with the boat. That's going to be the easiest rods you can run. They're away from each other. They're not an issue, right? If I control 3, I'm going to have the 3rd one right down the middle. When we get outside of that, we get into planer boards. A lot of times I'll run 5 where I have 2 sticking out, 2 straight back, and 1 in the wash, right? And you can sort of arrange your rods however you want. But I try to stay away from planers as much as I can because it's a little pain in the butt. But, you know, the way you got to lay it out is try to get those rods as far back as you can because those baits are going to follow the path of the boat better back there. They're going to stay with the boat in a better way. They're going to follow what you're trying to do there in a much smoother, cleaner fashion and follow the path of the boat. So that's the basic layout. Like I said, so many people have asked. It's so much easier to explain in a video, so we're going to work on that. We're working on some other videos that you guys request and things you guys want to know. But that's the basic to sum those up. We're going to do that. Other than that, on the southern end of things, get your trolling game on and get your big rubber going. It is time for the bulldog. It is time for the stuff. Oh, Tyler. It's
Alabama Rigs.
We'll jump right into Q&A because I'm cold and I'm tired and I'm hungry. Troy says, for God's sake, where's the video game? I've been waiting so patiently. Pretty sure before I know it, I'm going to have ice and that game's going to be my go-to. I'm really counting on this. I want to play with you. Aww. He says, please make an episode out of assisted baits in trolling. I want to know 2-ounce weights with 2 miles an hour and charts to go with them. Okay.
Working on it.
We're working on it. It's not easy. Working on it. We're going to have it, guys. You know, me and Tyler, busy men. We got the video.
That chart is going to be the holy grail of trolling charts because we can do it for basically everything. It's going to take a long time.
Well,
for every increment.
Yeah, we got the. Listen, if it wasn't for them pandemics, we'd have it done. But we got to get together and do it. He's been working. I've been working on it. But we'll have all that. Like I said, me and the guru have some stuff lined up. We will have that data for you guys. The video game is looking good, boys. Now, I'll tell you this. Video games are not easy to make. So, it looks good. I promise you guys will be impressed. And it will be very, very, very soon. You can take a trip from anywhere. You could be anywhere, Tyler. You could be at the dentist. You could be at the zoo, right? You could, you know, be
at Christmas dinner.
You could be getting tarot cards read. You could be, you know, standing at the mall. You could be in the theater. You could be doing it. And you could be straight from your phone. You could be in musky country.
Woo!
That's it, boys. That's it. Just whip her out and you're right there, boys. Right there on the water.
Musky fishing 24/7.
24/7 from the palm of your hand. Video games.
Exciting.
It is. You will have access to me and Tyler. It's basically the OnlyFans of muskie fishing is what it is. it is.
We're pretty pathetic.
It is just going to be epic. Now, it'll be done here soon. It's actually, we've got a lot of stuff. It's going to be fun. Some people that have been on my boat, some guide clients have played it. Tyler, you've got the demo. Old Jay at the Muskie Shop, he's been playing Muskie Country. We're tweaking it. Rome wasn't built in a day, but it'll be done very, very, very soon for your playing pleasure. I don't know. Play with me.
Play with us.
Play.
Make us happy.
With me. Tony wants to know, how do you get dialed in a bulldog? How do you get dialed in on a bulldog bite? What are some tips for working bulldogs and Medusas? Meow. Dialed in on a bulldog bite. Okay, so how do I get dialed in? Number one, I know they're hitting bulldogs. That's it. Thanks, Tony. Thanks for writing in.
I just go out there and I know.
I know.
Right away.
I look at the, oh, Sagittarius is in its third orbit. That's it.
Ursa Minor.
Ursa Major. You know, the Earth is lined up with Uranus. I don't know. Really? I assume this time of year thinking a southern thing, break lines. When things start to chill off, bait's dropping deeper, you know, fish are moving out to that first break or to open water, that's when I'm thinking bulldogs, and I'm thinking about, you know, a bait that's going to get down and really make a splash and move some water. What I'm doing to dial in on that is just like anything else. Bulldogs are not dissimilar to bucktails. You can end up with a bite where you go, is it a, you know, a standard bulldog, a magnum bulldog, an alpha dog, a pounder, right? Mm-hmm. So you've got to look at bulldogs just like you look at bucktails. I got 500, 700, 800, 10s. Okay? So a pounder is double 10s. That's the big dog, right? And then a magnum.
Shock and awe.
Shock and awe. And then the magnum would be your 8s, 9s. And then, you know, you've got different sizes of these baits. So what I'm doing is I'm going to try to move a fish. Okay? If I'm thinking shock and awe, I don't start off with the pounder. I usually start with the mag dog, right? And if one comes in, he doesn't eat it, I'm going to go down to a regular dog. If he doesn't eat that, I'm going to go down to the small dog, right? And you can sort of play with the sizes. In the same way we think about bucktails, when we talk about upsizing, downsizing bucktails, that's the same thing I want to do with rubber to get dialed in. You could do the same thing with your tubes. You know, if a fish is coming in, they're moving on 12-inch red October tubes, but they're not eating. Let's go to that 9. I think it's a 9 they make, or an 8. You know, step down, step up. Same thing with rubber. And, you know, that goes for any bait, though. You know, top water, jerk baits, crank baits, the whole bit. So I'm going to dial in by paying attention to how the fish are reacting to size. If they're following it and they're not hitting it, we're going to do the same thing, right? So upsize, downsize. The same thing applies even this time of year or late season, wherever you're at, with speed, right? So you need to address rubber in the same way that you address your blades and your other baits as far as how quick you're retrieving, but also that sort of that glide bait, jerk bait thought process of how long is my hanging time need to be to trigger a strike. So I'm going to play with bait size. I'm going to play with retrieve speed. I'm going to play with pause speed. Because sometimes it takes an elongated pause to get a fish to commit. That is the way that I dial in on getting fish to commit if they're on rubber. You know, and obviously to get dialed in on that, you need to play with other baits and go, well, they're moving on rubber. I got action on rubber, so they're on rubber. And then we tweak in from there. Something that quickly comes to mind that a lot of people don't consider, even in this late period, you know, when we're talking south of Wisconsin, you know, it's still time to think about your shallow dogs because they hang longer. Right?
I like that. Yeah. Yes.
Work it down. Throw it out and let it fall, and then pull it and let it fall and work it slow. Let it get down before you start ripping that thing. Hang time. Hang time, hang time, hang time. You know, the same thing with your toads. The same thing with these other rubber baits. Let them hang. Don't put the shallow stuff away yet. Just because it says shallow doesn't mean it has to be over shallow cover. It means it has a slower rate of fall, which means hang time. I can't tell you how many times I've seen a client move a fish and, you know, we're able to come back and I go, stop and wait 4, 5, 6 seconds. Probably one of the craziest strikes I've had. I had a guy named Josh on the boat with me. We're fishing. I may have told this story before. I'm working a 12-inch suik that I had special weighted, so it was really neutrally buoyant. We watched the fish come blaring by it. And he went, there's a fish. I said, wait. And I did nothing. And I literally did nothing. I just held the rod for, it was, felt like an eternity, but I honestly think it was 5 to 6 seconds. The fish comes back and just T-bones the thing, just decimates the bait. When it's cold water, slow. Again, you know, the thing about half spool Steve, you know, I don't have a bunch of line. I'm fishing slow. I'm making good casts and making the most of them. So even when it comes to those bulldogs, it doesn't have to be fast and shock and all. It can be hang time, rip, big paws and hang out. Other tips, man, you know, have the right equipment. Me and you, Tyler, we've talked about a bunch. Having that shield rod extra heavy to be able to do that.
If you're throwing a bulldog like a pounder with trying to throw it with a medium heavy, it's going to be quite difficult to do that.
You're going to suffer. Yeah.
I've actually seen a guy do that. I'm like,
oh,
that's a really flimsy rod.
You see the rod bending, doubling over.
It's almost breaking in half, yeah.
Snape. Yeah, make sure you're geared up. That's other tip.
One thing I just quick say, just don't get complacent. Don't be like Mr. Consistent with anything. It's muskies sometimes will eat boring things, but if you get erratic and throw a random juke move in there,
yeah,
might trigger a strike even cold weather.
Well, and that's the thing. It doesn't have to be boring. It doesn't have to be a fast juke.
Be slow juke.
It could be a slow juker. So, you know, just something, whether it be I'm pulling it to the right and I change my rod to the other side of my body. I've done that so many times where it just goes the other way a little bit and they go bam and they commit. Ron. Old Ron.
Ronnie boy.
Ron says, need help. My reels are icing up. What do you guys think?
Well,
get something else to do.
That's called Mother Nature.
Yeah, it's called cold.
It's called weather.
Can't do much about it.
You can't fix that. It's you just have to live through it.
very unpopular thing to do. Clients look at you funny when there's a big jar of Vaseline on the boat when they step on. But that's what I call the Tennessee surprise. But a lot of times when it's like sub-freezing, I will grab a jar of Vaseline and you can put it on your line guides and you can put it on your my brain doesn't work today. The paw, the thing, you know, the line gatherer that's moving the line back and forth. You can smack that on the front of the reel. If things are icing up, it'll keep ice off of things. Right.
I like that.
The other thing is WD-40. The WD stands for water dispersant. So you can spray things down with WD-40. It'll keep water off them, and that will keep them from icing. It's just part of the game. I actually, I've heard of guys that'll like keep a Sterno candle over it. Like this, no joke. They'll keep like a Sterno candle in a bucket and they'll like just swap between reels.
Oh, and like my gosh.
That's some hardcore like Canada. It's miserable cold. You know, like I said, Vaseline or WD is
when
what
it gets
I've
that
done.
Cold. It's like,
I've been sure there though. I've caught a lot of big fish when it's that miserable.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the one thing I'll tell you is don't turn your engine off if it's that cold. I did that one time. where I was on a bite and it was like the water's 36, you know, and that's warm, obviously warmer than freezing. But, you know, it froze some stuff up. I ended up pulling the cowling off and I could feel, you know, the pee stream pipe or whatever the heck, that tube that's going out of the back. You know, you could feel the ice in it. I was like, oh, God. You know, and you're trying to warm that stuff up. I ran into the other morning. I can't get my gas cap on my boat open because it's frozen shut. You know, so you're just going to run into it. If your reels are freezing up and your rods are freezing up, like I said, using WD, using Vaseline, anything you can do. I had a guy one time that what he was doing is he was making sure that he was palming as much as he could, you know, to keep as much heat moving into it. And with a hot hand, he had a hot hand in his glove and it helped, you know, but you're just, yeah, it's not going to help a bunch, but it'll help.
You just got to suffer through it. It's going to ice up. Deal with it.
It is what it is. There's no silver bullet. The one thing I'll tell you is if you feel your reel start getting crunchy, switch to another reel. One thing I've done, Tyler, I talked about on here, is I started throwing some of those Akuma Komodos. And they're composite on the side. My old school round of booze, they're all aluminum and all that stuff. That stuff gets cold and it freezes up fast.
Oh, yeah.
So your super reels are going to do a little bit better where the sides aren't transferring as much. And we're talking, this is like slight difference, but you know, maybe not bring out the round reels. Don't bring out the Calcutta. Go with something that's got a composite body or a plastic body might help a little bit. Try to keep some hand heat on that thing. And just be smart about trying to, you know, thaw that thing out as much as you can. Like I said, those are the tricks that I've heard. I've seen guys that have like 12-volt heaters on the boat, you know, little heaters, and they're doing all kinds of stuff. That's the best I got there. Jerry says, hey, guys, I traded my possum for a shield rod. The transaction was not through the musky shop. It was done with some dude selling the rod. He actually took my possum for it. He said, your local drug deals and old-fashioned bulldog deals were nothing compared to this situation. He started saying things to my poor possum as he was walking away, slowly rubbing its fur. Maybe his manifesto, ? What do you guys think? Was it worth it? Will this whiskered marsupial friend be all right? Thanks, meow. I think your marsupial friend's in a world of hurt. That's all I'm saying.
I think he was attending a nice barbecue.
I think I think that possum joined the Taliban. That possum's over there shooting an AK. I'm bloody hole. He's lost his mind, boys.
Oh, man.
That's what I think. I can't be that far off, Tyler.
Cut him up,
boys.
Eat him.
That possum gone bad. Anyway, Taylor says, trolling rods. Go cheap, go expensive. What are your guys' go-to trolling rods, and what are you looking for in a trolling rod? Our go-to trolling rod are... Muskie Shop shield rods. 8-foot trolling. Great price. You like, yes. You buy, yes.
Yes.
Yes. I have wares. You have coin. You gotta go faced.
The Muskie Shop shield rods, they're 8-foot trolling rods, are perfect.
I'm running 4 of those. Love them. They're great. They hold up really well. They can handle big baits. I've been dragging around 14-inch jigs and 12-inch headlocks. No problem. So, bang for the buck, that's a heck of a rod. You can go cheaper, but in that case, you're getting basically like a beefed-up walleye rod that could blow up. That's the best bang for the buck trolling rod I know of. What am I looking for in a trolling rod, though? I don't care about length as much as I care about it's got a sensitive tip.
And a strong backbone.
Is your tip sensitive, Tyler?
Only when it's warm out.
Only when it's warm out. So with that being said, I want to make sure it's not like a freaking pool cue, right? I've had some trolling rods that are like, Actually, I did that one time. They were like these cheapo Shimano Sojourns, right? Mm-hmm. They made like an 8-foot extra heavy, and they were on sale for like $40 one time. You could drag a headlock, and the tip of that thing's barely moving. You know, it's like, whoa, yeah. Dude, you know. I want to see bait action, you know, because any given day I might go from a headlock to a tough shad to a baby depth rater, you know. So I like to be able to keep an eye on the action. The tip's got a little bit of sensitivity. It's moving. I'm looking for price point for sure. I don't want to spend a bunch of money on trolling rods. I'm looking for strong backbone. And, you know, my go-to is the 8-footer. The 8-foot trolling rod is enough to get it off the side of the boat. They're easy for me to manage. I don't need like these Mondo 14-foot trolling rods or anything crazy. That's what's working for me. Outside of that, I mean, a strong reel seat. That's the one thing is like, you know, there can be some serious impact there. Your arms aren't there to sort of take the abuse. I like the reel seat on the shield rods because it's beefed up. You know, that's the only thing I'd say is I actually, back in the day, I bought some of those cheapo trolling rods, right? And it was just like the reel seats are just cruddy. And it just sort of makes you go, you know, if a big fish got in there, you don't want anything coming loose. That's what I'm looking for. You know, obviously we're biased, but with the shield rods, I like how much abuse they can take. You know, if I got the tip in the water, I've run those rods with like 3 feet of the tip in the water going 4 miles an hour.
I mean, we run them through logs.
Yeah, I don't care.
Just bum, 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 bum.
You don't care.
Beat them up. They look beautiful still.
Well, and that's the thing with some other trolling rods and stuff. I've lost tips. I've had them load up with too much weed and crap. But that's my go-to there. But like I said, if you're looking at any trolling rod, it doesn't have to be like some, like, you know, mythical tournament legend series elite. What other adjectives?
Money.
Yeah, what other adjectives do we have, Tyler, for like elite? Like,
Money rod,
super force.
Gold.
So that would be the thing. Jim says, Steve, saw a video about a challenge using a spoon. You made it clear you don't like spoons. Just curious why. I don't remember that, but okay. I never said I don't like spoons that I remember. But I like spoons.
Eat my soup with them.
I like the spoons. I'm not a big fan in spoons in comparison to what other baits there are now. There's, you know, I mean, come on, man. It's not 1940.
They still work. I mean, there's certain situations for spoons. Like if you put a bunch of baits in the line and you said, pick one to throw the rest of your life. You know what? I am never even going to consider the spoon.
No, I mean, they catch the scuds out of fish. Don't get me wrong. It's just not my cup of tea. The way I look at muskies is a lot of days you got there and you pick what I want to catch one on. I hate to say that, but, you know, we're all biased. What I use spoons for, and the only application I have them, is slop that I can't get anything else through, right? Which, you know, Joe Booker used to have that slop spoon, the Slop Master spoon, which they don't make anymore, which I don't know why, but God, that'd go through anything.
They got to bring it back and call it the Sloppy Joe.
Sloppy, yeah.
I love it.
I know how you kids like it, sloppy. That was cool. But, you know, the only other application is like taking a 10-inch believer and putting a spoon behind it, that Burger King rig for like St. Lawrence stuff back in the day. I've caught fish doing it and it's super cool. You're using like a big believer to get that bait down, you know, or a swim whiz, and you're actually putting a leader off the back of that bait and you're using the believer swim whiz as a diving lip for the spoon to get it to depth, which is a really neat application. You know, I think spoons have their place, but given the option of double tens or a spoon, it's not a question for me. You know, just forget about it. So that's my feelings on it. Sorry, but I'm not as big. I'm not big into spooning. Bob says, "Hey guys, we still got soft water here in southern Wisconsin. I've been trolling, but I see plenty of guys still casting. With temps in the upper 20s in the AM to low 40s, what kind of rod do you suggest casting with? I hear too many horror stories about guys blowing up expensive graphite rods when it's cold. Only really cold days, I've made a habit of taking all my rods into Culver's with me for a little burger action and warm them up as they seem to like it. It's becoming a bit of a pain lugging all my gear in and out of restaurants. Plus, a lot of regulars are really starting to eye my collection of Elite Shield rods. Thank guys, keep up the good work on the pod crap."
Oh. If you send a... I don't know.
Listen, Bob.
Do the chat.
Bob,
I want a picture.
Bob,
a picture.
This is it, Bob. This is it. Because I call bull malarkey, Bob. I will send you two Junior's inlines. I want to see a picture of you standing in a Culver's with a rod. That's it. Right?
That's it.
Or, conversely, you in a tackle box at a table in Culver's, right? You just got bait spread on the table when you're sitting there eating your butter burger. I want to see
changing
it, Bob.
Split rings.
Yeah, changing split rings. Pardon me, sir. You've been here 6.5 hours. We're going to have to... I'm trying to eat my burger, you know.
They got to warm up.
Got to warm up my shield rod. Bob, that's amazing. I've been kicked out of Culver's too. Nothing to be ashamed of.
Different reasons.
Totally different reasons. You know, apparently they want you to wear pants in there. It's ridiculous. I thought this was America. I can do what I want. Anyway, here's my deal, man. Shield rods. You said it. I've been casting the 9-foot heavy. No problems. You can throw the 9-foot extra heavy, no problems. You know, then those expensive rods get cold. They seem to destruct. It seems like,
ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
It ain't so elite when it's blown up.
Ooh. Burn, mic drop.
Burn.
Oh.
You know, you don't look like a legend when your rod fell apart. Freaking out there. Listen, I spent a mortgage payment on this rod and it fell apart. How cool do you look then? Get that shield rod, Bob.
Get it. Get it. Get it. Get it. It's so easy. You need it. Get it. Get it. Get it. It's in your house.
but that's the thing, man. Shield rod's my go-to. Other than that, you know, there's some inexpensive Shimano stuff. Again, the famous Booker is a muskies don't take a resume, and they sure as heck don't care what you're throwing baits on.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you this. I had this conversation. This is the little tangent toe here. To say that any muskie fishing is finesse is an oxymoron. It's ridiculous. Like, I'm looking at the wall here in the bait cave. There's not a bait in here I couldn't fish on, like, an extra heavy pull cue. You know? It's just not 5-inch, you know, 206 crane bait. Okay. Pounder. Okay. You know, this is not some, like, uber finesse fishing. Just get a heavy stick that is, like, no BS.
I could just imagine a muskie sitting there going, "Ooh, that looks like a good bait." Oh, wait. He's throwing a Walmart special.
That's it. Again, you know, back in the day, I'll tell you flat out, if you're on like Uber budget, I used to troll those Ugly Sticks GX2 6.6s from Walmart. Don't care. It's a trolling rod. It works.
Don't need to be special.
Don't need to be special. Muskies don't take a resume. They don't care if you're elite. Are you? They don't care. You know, whatever pompous adjective you need to put in front of your equipment to feel better about yourself, muskies don't care. You know, Oh, this is my Duke of Earl, first House of Dunshire, Rod. You know, listen,
join
the big PP club and get your shield rod. Stop trying to overcompensate. Isaac says, with musky season closing off in Minnesota, I've been reviewing gear. I'm curious how or if you guys use electronics to advantage. Is something like side imaging useful for musky fishing at all? I'm trying to figure out if an electronic upgrade could be any use for me.
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Next question.
All right. Obviously, a lot of people use side imaging to spot muskies. That is an advantage. But one thing I will talk about instead of that is I use side imaging when I am scouting a new lake. And I want to figure out the structure very, very quickly. Instead of fishing, I will drive around. I will find main lake points, anything that indicates some sort of rock structure. I'll set my scanners to maybe like 200 feet, see if I can pick up something, drop one waypoint, come back, take the scanners, whatever the frequency, wherever the distance is, back to like 80 so I can get better resolution, a more zoomed in image, and then I'll start going around that waypoint and kind of map out the structure. And say it's like a rock point that comes out, I will take a waypoint, and every like 10 feet I'll drop a certain like waypoint, like of a rock. And when I see it on my map, I just see a nice like oval shape or like a little weird squiggly shape, and that is the general outline of a rock structure, and I could fish it perfectly after that.
Perfectly.
Flawless
victory.
I use side imaging to break down. There's a new body of water this year, Steve, that I was telling you about.
Mm-hmm.
I just went on it and I just started driving around. I marked like six great rock structures, and by the end of the week, I had caught a muskie on every single rock structure that I found.
Yeah,
and you know what? It would have taken me a lot longer to find those rock structures if I just started fishing.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the thing of the side imaging. You hear about, and it's like you hear about old Johnny Big Muskie. He saw one on side imaging and caught it.
Yeah.
Okay. That's cool.
Boring. Use it to do other stuff.
Right.
Break down a lake, man.
Right.
And then you can do that.
That's a thing of like, don't look at side imaging as like, I'm going to drive around and find muskies and see them all. You can do it, and people see them, and it's just like...
Use it to find their house.
Take it to the house.
Take it to the house. House.
You're in my house now, boy. So, Tyler, we did it on our murder cabin trip where we drove around. We were on the guru rig throughout the side imaging, and we found a couple bars even. Actually, one of the lakes that... we scored on. I was talking to a client who's actually fished that same lake, and I realized I shut my mouth real quick. I said, "Do you know where that reef is? You ever fished that?" And he was like, "What reef?" And I went, "Oh, I'm wrong lake." And this guy's got a house like 4 minutes from it.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Danger.
The snake lake. The snake lake, Tyler.
Ah, yes.
Yes, that lake. You know where that reef is out there.
And the one where you did a cartwheel? Yes, that one.
Where I did a cartwheel off the boat. Thank you, folks. Anywho, he had no clue that's even there. And I went, ooh, you know, you fish. This guy's fished this for like years. And Tyler, you spotted that on side image. You're driving around.
The first day, what I do is I just drive almost every inch of the water that my side scan, side sonar never doesn't pick up. And you know what? I found on this one lake three rock structures that aren't on the map at all. And they're like 5 feet under the surface. And I don't see a single person fish them ever. And there's muskies on them.
Yeah, there's muskies
on them. And it's like I'll get out there and go, darn it, there's people at the boat launch. I'm going to have to compete with someone. I go out, no one's touched the rock reefs.
And the thing I would say with this is like on the day-to-day for me with side imaging, I don't use it every day. I've used it to confirm what's under the water or to find things. And so I'm not in the school of thought yet where I'm sitting here glued to it going, if I don't see one, I ain't throwing. I've heard guys are doing that already. Maybe in a year I'll be going, if I don't see a fish on side scan, you know, and I worry about that, Tyler. This is a tangential statement, but you know, I worry about, like, with the Garmin Panoptics and a lot of this stuff, is it going to become a matter that we just, like, drive around in the boat all day long till we see a fish and we throw then? I hope that the tech...
With the side imaging, I've driven over spots and I didn't see a darn fish, uh-huh. and I still caught a fish in that spot. Right. It's not going to pick it up. You know, it's going to take a long time to get there.
Maybe in 10 years they'll be able to differentiate like muskies from weeds and be like, there's a muskie in that weed bed. That'll suck. That'll take the mystery out of everything. But, you know, that would be a wise investment. You don't have to go overboard. One thing, and this is, I told a client this a couple days ago. A guy called me asking about electronics. And this is just my two cents, total opinion. This is not the year to spend a ton of money on electronics, though.
No.
Because.
Do not.
A, all the companies are having problems with production, right?
Yep.
So there's not a ton of units available. You're going to pay too much. So supply and demand.
You're not going to get it on time.
Right.
There was a time in July. I bought the last two units in freaking Wisconsin.
I know you did, yeah. I remember that. You're like, I can't fish. I've got the last, you know, and like you're getting them installed. With that being said, there will be a different gen coming out real fast. Like we're sort of in this fluctuation. So you're going to see a new gen of stuff coming out. I think like anything that came out the last year that's coming out this year is going to be like, forgotten about in an hour and a half. You know, I'm running my low ranch, still running low ranch gen 2 stuff, and I'm holding out for the next gen of stuff when they've got the kinks worked out. One thing I used to always say in the music business was, it's like, you know, if you live on the cutting edge of technology, you're going to bleed money.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, you know, if you're out there, like, you know, I'm not going to drop the money on the Panoptics first generation, you know, because what's happening is a lot of guys, and I'm not knocking it, that stuff is awesome and all the respect in the world if you got it, but I don't have the money to be like, I'm going to buy this stuff and I'm basically paying to, you know, do some alpha testing for these guys, you know, what's the kinks, what's this, because it's always going to get better. So I always sort of wait for things to plateau, which means the kinks are out. You know, so if you're patient, you're going to do better in the long run. You're going to get more years out of it. But I would not, like, if you're thinking about getting some side imaging, you know, I wouldn't drop a ton on it right now. Get some stuff. Maybe get a gin back. Get some of the stuff where you go, I'm looking for rocks and standing timber and crap like that. And save some of your shekels for big boy stuff on that next gin. Tyler, would you agree with that? That's sort of like a weird year for those electronics as far as development or...
Oh yeah, it's a weird year for development, but I want to be dropping a bunch of my. I get like a Hummingbird. I just get like a Gen 2 or something.
Yeah,
you know, Gen 2 Helix. Don't get the Gen 3s right now; they're cheaper.
Right.
There is literally like no difference.
I'll tell you.
There's probably some difference, but not much.
Well, and the thing is, this my favorite thing is I like buying used. I do it all the time. I'm like, thanks, dude. I'm glad you ate 40% off the top.
Thank you
eBay.
Thank you, sir.
As long as that thing's got 30 days return, boys. So
yep,
that's my trick there. All right, Stu says, I'm new to musky fishing, was wondering if you had any tips for late fall night fishing. Also, is it true that musky fishing is just like, I can't say that, that's funny though. So he's drawing a corollary to a surprise act is what I'll leave that at that. Anyway, he's new to musky fishing and wondering if I had any tips for late fall night fishing. Okay, just like any other fishing at night, you need to slow down. So if it's cold, we're going to slow down even more. And we're going to go big and slow. Especially in the fall. Big, slow presentation. Presentations are going to move some water. and call fish in at a distance, right? And let them hone in on that. So you're stimulating more with their lateral line at night. They feel it and they move in and then they sort of see the silhouette. Again, me and Tyler, we've talked about this a bunch. Dark baits, you know, easy to find in the water, you know, either white or black, black or white. You know, I'm not going to be throwing a pumpkin seed crawl pattern. You know, I want something. I hate all those bass colors, like pumpkins.
Pumpkin spice latte.
Talking to a bass fisherman's like listening to the barista at Starbucks. Really, got that Yamamoto pumpkin crawl, crawl daddy, and with the mocha latte, 5-inch snapper tail. Shut up. Hey, all that crap. I'm glad Muskies are not big on color, because number one, we couldn't afford it. Can you imagine if you had to have like 40 colors of every bait? I think they got these bass guys, like bass probably can see like black.
That's it.
Yeah, that's it. And it's just like they got these guys buying monkey pumpkin. That's a new bait color, Tyler. Monkey pumpkin.
Monkey butter.
Monkey pumpkin is what I think. Monkey pumpkin.
I could have 40 different colors of top raiders.
Come on now. get serious, boy.
All you need is one. They don't care.
Henry says, since it's icing up here in Wisco, what are, if any, good tactics for muskie in the winter on ice? If not tip-ups or anything like that, should I be jigging? And if I am, what should I be jigging? And what sort of rod? Love the podcast.
All I have to say is you have to read that again. I did not understand a word you said.
I was being
it was
sorry.
So bad.
I know. Thank you, Henry. He wants to know, I don't know if this is legal or not, Tyler. So you're going to, again, nope. Anything that comes up on the podcast, we are not the DNR. Please read your regulations.
We are not responsible for any fines.
Yeah,
that you
don't call us as witness one where we're like, heck yeah, you drill you a 48-inch hole in figure eight. Henry wanted to know, since it's icing up, are there any good tactics for winter muskies through the ice? Can you use tip ups? And what about jigging? I've never fished in my life.
I will say this. Is it possible to catch muskies through the ice?
Is it illegal?
It is very illegal. You cannot do it.
Then we're done. Stop talking.
I've done it on accident, crappie fishing.
Right.
They do bite on occasion. Everyone eventually catches one through the ice accidentally, but you cannot target them. Do not target them.
Right.
Done.
You're dropping that Magnum Bondi down there for crappie.
if a warden's sitting in the woods and sees you put on a Bondi, he's gonna get you.
Here's my thing, man, which is totally sort of divergent, but the same thing. I've always wondered about these guys that go up pre-muskie opener to Canada to go pike fishing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Going up here to go pike fishing.
Oh, no, these aren't muskie baits.
These are pike baits. That's just like such a cop out. No, officer. This is not an assault rifle AK-47. This is a possum gun. Maybe we need to go pike fishing, Tyler. Can't keep these dang muskies off.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. I mean, like I said, the legalese of it, I'm not going to touch it with a 10-foot pole.
Illegal. Don't do it.
But he wants, if he did, he said, if he was, what sort of rod would we use? Musky Shop shield rod. If we were doing it, that's what we'd use. Don't.
Don't do it. Don't do it. You don't want that fine.
Question, Tyler.
Yeah.
What about the Mississippi, where obviously it's flowing? Where do the regs fall on that? Can you target
East
Sox?
December 31st.
That's it. That's it.
Between December 31st and May whatever, I can't remember the exact date, you can only go pike fishing, boys.
That's it.
That's it.
This is my pike bulldog.
I've seen people do that so much on Green Bay.
It's just one of these things. If there were no pike, it would be clear cut and dry. And again, to clarify, I'm not advocating that at all. We're laughing about it because seeing people up in Canada throwing double tens for pike.
We've both seen it. We're like, yeah, you're pike fishing buddy.
Got a magnum monster Medusa out here for these pike. Yeah, okay. Sure, put you on a Johnson. There's your get your spoon out for the pike. Get him Johnson Silver Minnow on. I'll believe that. Throwing a 12-inch Phantom.
We should just come out with a show where we try to catch people musky fishing out of season, like how to catch a predator. Like an illegal musky. Oh my gosh,
Tyler! The name of that show is called "How to Get Stabbed at the Boat Ramp." Okay, that would last one episode where you get stabbed at the boat ramp. You know. Welcome to this episode of "How to Get Stabbed at a Boat Ramp." You pull over to go like, "What are you throwing that mag dog for?" Yeah, right. That'll go well for you. I wonder how many of these early season pike trips, end up with some monster muskies on the end of the line.
Probably more than pike.
I've got friends in Canada that are walleyeing out on the ice, and I'll get a picture once a year without fail that they'll pull out a slobosaur out of the ice.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, they'll come up and grab a walleye, crappie, all sorts of stuff. Sometimes they won't let go. Sometimes they'll come up and grab a pike just through the ice. Sometimes you get them, sometimes you won't. Most of the time you won't.
Out there figure eighting a 14-inch Jake through the ice.
That'd be ridiculous.
Cut you a 12-foot wide hole. This is for them pike. It's for them Northerns, boys. We're just out here figure eighting mag dogs and pounders. It's fun. Oh, Tyler. Well, buddy, other than that guy going to Culver's, and Bob, if you don't go to Culver's and take a picture of yourself with a rod, I'm disappointed in you.
We're disappointed.
We need a contest. I got too many juniors in lines, and I need to get rid of them. What do you got?
Do it.
What do you got? No, what do you got for a contest?
Oh, me?
Yeah,
oh.
You.
Oh, yeah. Darn. What are we thinking? What are we thinking here, Steve?
I don't know.
Your crappiest guide story.
No.
Come on. That'd be great.
I was thinking more humiliating, like, just the worst picture of you laying on the ice. I don't know. I don't know. Crappiest guide story. Let's think here. I got it. This is the super mega contest. This will end after Christmas, right? We'll come up with another one here. I want to see the most disappointed video of your wife opening a musky bait for Christmas. Like, film your wife and be like, yeah, or girlfriend, be like, or boyfriend, whatever you're into. I don't really care. It's 2020. You film them and be like, hey, I got you. I want to film you opening your Christmas gift. I love you so much. And it's like a phantom, and they're just grossly disappointed because you bought them a musky bait. If you film your significant other opening a musky bait and they're really disappointed, you're going to win something big, period.
Yeah. I like that.
That's it. Anyway, that one will end after Christmas. Other than that, screw it. First person to email me wins a junior's in lines. That's how creative I am. First person that emails and just says I want a junior's in lines, I'm going to send it to you. I'm tired. I'm still in my rain suit, people. I'll send it to you. That's how simple the contest is this week. Tyler, I got to eat food and go to bed because I have to get up and catch another one of these snot rockets again tomorrow, all right?
Cool.
Later, dude.
Sometimes it's hard to find.
M-A-X. Maximum Shrinkage.
Dribble, dribble. Splash, splash. Soggy bottoms. I wasn't fast. Dribble, dribble. Splash, splash. Soggy bottoms. I wasn't fast.